We're going to spend some time this morning wondering about the other sheep, the ones outside the flock. So there are many meaningful benefits that I experience in my work as a pastor here. One of them is that I get to meet with young adults for coffee and hear about their lives and passions and struggles. This past week, I met up with a young woman, I'll call her Sarah. She's a sophomore at Hope College, and she shared with me how difficult her first year of college was. Sarah told me that she's encountered two types of students, those who are staunchly religious to the point that they want to talk about nothing else, and those who want nothing to do with faith. "Where are those in between?" she lamented. "I don't fit." She struggled to find community to the point of nearly dropping out at the end of her freshman year. What flock does Sarah belong to? Then there is Melissa, who I meet with on occasion, who is too traumatized to step back into a church. As a bisexual woman growing up in her parents' conservative congregation, she felt condemned and unloved by those who reduced her to a behavior or a label. What flock does Melissa belong to? A couple weeks ago, when Pastors Jill, Gordon, and I met to offer pastoral care to several young, vibrant, and passionate LGBTQ people in our community who have come to see a need for being more vocal about injustice, Pastor Jill asked, "Who cares for you? Activism is draining work." The room fell silent. After a moment of quiet reflection, one of the women, age 20, responded with, "No one is caring for me. My parents have shunned me. My roommate doesn't understand me. And once I started speaking up for the injustices I have seen and experienced around me, many people started avoiding me. I have only one person in my life that I call friend." What flock do these young people belong to? My friend Gary is a 20-year-old from Orange City, Iowa. He made it 2 years at Northwestern College before dropping out this year. "You have no idea how hard it is to be gay in my town," he shared. "It's just so exhausting to continually justify my existence to Christians here." Later that day on Facebook, Gary posted a quarter-page newspaper announcement a group of pastors from Orange City purchased for the local paper. On one side, it listed the pastors who were fervently against LGBTQIA people. On the other side was a list of local pastors who had not yet taken a stand either way. The ad was an attempt to publicly guilt the undecided pastors into speaking out against this marginalized group in the community. It even misappropriated a quote by Martin Luther King Jr., a quote that says, "A man dies when he refuses to stand up for what is right." I think truer words were never spoken, despite it being taken out of context. What flock does Gary belong to? There are some days when I feel like there are more sheep outside the flock than in. Perhaps you feel this way when you speak with people too. Or maybe you feel like you're outside the flock here in Holland, Michigan. Not unlike my friend Sarah from Hope College, you feel that there are two extremes of people. There are those on the left and those on the right, but you prefer the middle. But in a society that seems to devalue being politically ambidextrous, you feel pressure to pick sides. Or maybe you feel too old, too young, too Dutch, not Dutch enough, too messed up, too unintelligent, too shy, too loud, or just too much to experience community. I know my first 5 years of living in Holland post-college, I had zero, count them, zero friends for 5 years, and I'm pretty friendly. Well, maybe some of us here are friendly, but maybe not everybody here is as welcome as they could be. So what are we, a bunch of exiled sheep, supposed to do? Well, first, I want to affirm to every one of you sitting in these pews and those of you listening to us today that you belong here. Belonging at Hope Church is not contingent on whether you morally or spiritually measure up to some standard. Belonging has nothing to do with how many committees you join or how many hours you volunteer, although we can always use more help preparing the newsletter for the mail. Belonging has nothing to do with your skin color, gender identity, orientation, how nice your clothes are, whether or not you have straight hair, or whether or not you have spiritual doubts. You belong at Hope Church because you belong in Christ. Whereas 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. God has reconciled us to God through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation we've been given is our charge to love both other sheep outside the church and those who are sitting next to us in the pew. We are all in this together. And as 1 Corinthians says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By the very nature of our baptism, we are bonded together. We went from being lone sheep to being in the fold. We are the church, both in these walls and with the universal church, because of God's Spirit, and it is not contingent on whether or not we get along. Just a few minutes ago, we officially welcomed Sarah, Rick, Andrew, Ann, Liam, Stella, Rich, Mari, Samantha, Vivian, Rebecca, Steve, and Ruth, and we affirmed our commitment to them saying these words. We promise to love, encourage, and support them by teaching them the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service. Our promise to God is to be the gospel to those here in our midst. I challenge you all to ask God, even daily, for simple ways to offer encouragement or love to these new members and to everyone else sitting around you. You will be surprised how creatively God will answer these prayers. This is our act of love and belonging that we receive and commit to giving to each other. Friends, you belong here. A great hope for exiled sheep is knowing whose we are. Our gospel today tells us we belong to a good shepherd. When studying this passage today, I was reminded of the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1. What is your only comfort in life and death? And in death, say it with me, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What even is a good shepherd? This is not good as in the opposite of bad. This isn't a shepherd who can be counted on simply to follow the rules closely during a Monopoly game or sit still in church during a boring sermon. The Greek word used here is kalos, which means the model shepherd. Kalos means that which is ordered, sound, noble, ideal, model, true, competent, faithful, and praiseworthy. A kalos shepherd is one who will protect the sheep at all costs, fully knowing that this cost includes risking his or her own life, if it means the survival of the flock. This is not a shepherd who clocks in to do the bare minimum, taking 5 smoke breaks and 90-minute lunches. This shepherd is employee of the month caliber for 12 months running despite only being employed for 9 months. This shepherd is a lifer. This shepherd spends so much time caring for us that he or she knows us better than we know ourselves. This shepherd is like a mother who knows the meaning behind every different cry of her infant. We belong to the shepherd, not because of anything we've accomplished. We belong to the good shepherd because Christ first loved us. So, if we belong both to this church and to God, our good shepherd, how should we be? How should we behave? What is our response? Jesus instructs us several times throughout the Gospels that the summation of our life as a flock is two summary commandments. Love God with our entire being, love on ourselves, and love on others with the same ferocity. Remember that promise we talked through earlier for how we are to commit to our new members and each other? Our response to being loved is to give ourselves to others around us without forgetting about those sheep who yet have no flock. Our mission statement at Hope Church includes the following. We seek to not grow out only in numbers, but most importantly, in depth of Christian commitment. We seek to identify and engage each person's particular gifts and to direct all our gifts in faithfulness to God's word. And then it goes on to read, Hope Church is committed to service, both locally and worldwide, and we support the work of justice and compassion by all people of goodwill. We serve both as a congregation and individually through our daily living. Well, with this in mind, what else might we do with this when we hear the needs like the ones I opened with? As we pray for God's direction and how to love on those in our midst and those outside this pasture, we should expect that God will use our passions and our gifts. Do you enjoy cooking? Reach out to the office and be put on the list of potential cooks to assist those in need of meals when they are going through a medical emergency or family crisis. Are you good with financial planning and with money? Well, there are likely families in our midst who could use help with learning to budget and plan. Are you passionate about theological questions and love deep discussion? You can join us for pub theology on Wednesday nights. Yes, that was a shameless plug. And speaking of shameless plugs, I want to talk to you a minute about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, mentoring. I don't know about you, but when I was a teen and young adult, I know that I longed to have a person older than me in my life to be a friend and sounding board for all the questions I had in life. Sometimes my questions were simple, like, do you ever break down hysterically sobbing when your two-year-old went Jackson Pollock on the living room wall with your lipstick collection? And sometimes my questions were bigger, like, is God actually a real man who died? Or, is God actually a real man? Or, is God actually real? Sadly, I never had a mentor like that when I was young, and so I think that informs how I am today. I want to fight like mad to make sure younger people have this in their life. This past Wednesday evening, writer Anna Redsand met with several of us here at Hope Church to talk about her spiritual memoir, To Drink from the Silver Cup. In her book, she describes her experience growing up with her Christian Reformed Church missionary family while privately realizing she was gay even as a young child. Her stories of loneliness and exile from Christian community was heartbreaking. It took her 40 years to find a church home after she came out in her early 20s. When I had a few minutes to chat with her at the event, I asked her, what do you wish the adult Christians had given you when you were young? And she responded with, it's simple, really. Just tell young people you love them without ever adding the word but on the end. It's hard enough for youths to find connection with older adults who want to pour into them. I can't even imagine what it is like for LGBTQIA youth to find Christian adults to look up to. If stories like these break your heart like they do mine, I would encourage you to get involved. I'm always looking for people to assist with sponsoring our youth ministry or helping even with one of our one-off trips or longer commitments or even show support by going to their sporting events and arts performances. And even more exciting, you've probably heard me talk about that we are launching Generation Spark this fall, which gives the opportunity for a more formal mentoring opportunity where we will actually use a guided curriculum to walk with youth and young adults. I encourage you to prayerfully consider being a part of this. So when Jesus reappears to the disciples after the resurrection later on in the book of John, Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And each time when Peter says yes, Jesus answers him with, "Then feed my sheep." Do you love me? Feed my sheep. So Hope Church, I end with asking you the same. Do you love Jesus? Feed his sheep.